Well, let's read together from God's Word as we find it in the Old Testament in two passages. First of all, in Ezekiel chapter 34, and then in Psalm 23. Ezekiel 34, we're going to read verses 11 to 16. We're going to be thinking about the Lord as our shepherd this morning. And that's something that the Lord himself speaks about here in Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, beginning at verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock, when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Then we turn back in the Old Testament to the book of Psalms and to the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23. These very familiar and well-loved words. We read the whole psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Well, please turn with me now in God's word to Psalm 23 that we read earlier in our service. Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm is one of the parts of Scripture that Christians commit to memory first. And it's no wonder, is it, that it's so beloved by God's people. It's full of such beautiful imagery, communicating such glorious truth and encouragement and comfort. But sometimes, the more familiar we are with a part of the Bible, the less we think about it. It's easy to confuse knowledge with understanding. It's easy to think that just because we know a part of the Bible really well, perhaps we can say it off by heart, we think that we know all there is to know about it. I remember learning that lesson very clearly when I was in first year at university, and I was doing a one-to-one Bible study with an older Christian, and we were studying the Sermon on the Mount, and I went along to his room for our first Bible study, and we had a cup of coffee and we were chatting, and then we opened our Bibles at Matthew chapter 5 and we read the Beatitudes. Now at that stage I've been a Christian, I'm sure, for 6 or 7 years. And I had been going to church regularly, I'd been going along to youth fellowships. I knew the Beatitudes. I could recite the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I knew it off by heart. So we read them through, and then the first question that I was asked was, what do you think it means to be poor in spirit? I don't think I'll ever forget that sudden realization that I didn't have a clue what it meant to be poor in spirit. I didn't understand the Beatitude. I knew it. I'd known it for years. I could quote it back to front, literally. But I didn't know what it meant. I didn't understand it. Now, perhaps that says more about me than anything. But it is possible, isn't it? It shows us how possible it is to know something in the Bible and yet not really understand it. And so what I want to do this morning is simply to take the first statement of Psalm 23, the opening 5 words, the statement from which everything else in the psalm flows, and to think about it with you together. The Lord is my shepherd. And I want us to think about 2 things that statement tells us. I want us to think, first of all, about what it tells us about the Lord. What does that tell us about the Lord? The Lord is my shepherd. Perhaps we've heard these words and sung these 5 words so many times that they simply don't astonish us any longer. But they should. They ought to blow our minds. The Lord is my shepherd. That is an incredibly daring thing to say. Because as we were thinking about with the boys and girls earlier on, a shepherd's job in the ancient Near East was one of the least desirable of all possible jobs. Hardly anyone grew up wanting to be a shepherd. In the league table of impressive careers, shepherd ranked pretty near the bottom. The kind of people who were shepherds were poor, lower class, rough sort of men. It was an unsociable job, a dirty job. Usually it was the youngest son in the family who got landed with it, like David himself. And it's no wonder that it was such an unpopular job when you consider all that was involved in being a shepherd. For one thing, it was incredibly hard work. The flock wasn't contained in nice, neat little fields with fences and hedges. No, the sheep were scattered out on the hills. They needed constant care, constant supervision. The shepherds had to live rough and sleep rough in all kinds of weather. It was extremely demanding physically. And not only was it hard, it was very dangerous to be a shepherd. Perhaps you remember some of the occupational hazards that went with being a shepherd, according to David. These are David's own words in 1 Samuel 17, verse 34. He says, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. I can't imagine that too many shepherds would get insurance for that kind of work. If your training for this job involved killing lions and bears, rescuing their prey from their mouths, I can't imagine that there would be too many takers for that kind of job. That's what it meant to be a shepherd in the ancient Near East. It meant putting yourself in harm's way for the sake of these creatures that were under your care. It meant toiling away at all hours of the day and night in a thankless job that nobody else wanted. Who in their right mind would ever choose to be a shepherd? And whenever you understand that, whenever you have a little bit of that background, then you begin to see why it's so truly amazing that this psalm would say, "The Lord is my shepherd." There isn't really a job that compares nowadays. The Lord is my wold dryer. The Lord is my bin man. Maybe that gets a little bit of the shock of it, the humiliation of it. You imagine if you were looking out of your window on the day that your bins were being collected and you saw the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh emptying your bin. Imagine the shock and the surprise at that. Well, multiply that by a factor of a million, a billion, a trillion. The Lord is my shepherd. It's impossible, isn't it, to get something of the enormity of that. The Lord, this great God of the universe, has stooped down to take care of us and to be our shepherd. And the first word of the psalm is very emphatic. The Lord. It's as if it's underlined in red pen. The Lord is my shepherd. And this word Lord is the name of God in the Old Testament. It's the name Yahweh. The Lord is my shepherd. Not an angel. Not a third party, but God himself. And it's that that makes verse 1 so very shocking, isn't it? It's none other than Yahweh who describes himself as the shepherd of his people. I am who I am. Remember, that's what the word Yahweh means. I am who I am. And that name reveals at least two aspects of God's character. It tells us many things about him, but two things in particular. It tells us something, first of all, about the Lord's awesomeness. I am who I am. That name reveals God's self-existence. He's the one who has always existed. The Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. The one who is without beginning of days or end of years. The uncreated creator of all things. The one who spoke the word in the beginning and everything that exists came into being. He's the Lord of all, who doesn't depend on any other being for his power or for his existence. All of those things are bound up in this name, the Lord, Yahweh, I am who I am. That's why it's so remarkable, isn't it, that David says, Yahweh is my shepherd. This infinitely powerful Lord of the universe, this eternally glorious creator, this God through whom and for whom all things were made, this Lord stoops down to be the shepherd of human beings. This God is a shepherd of human beings, of all things, the highest majesty that you can possibly imagine, takes the lowliest place that you can imagine. It's a name that speaks of God's awesomeness. And yet at the same time, this name Yahweh, the Lord, warns us not to be too surprised by this. Because as well as speaking of God's awesomeness, it also speaks of his tenderness. His tenderness. Do you remember when God revealed this name, Yahweh, to his people? When he told them his name? It was when he met Moses at the burning bush. It was when he unveiled his great rescue plan for his people out of slavery in Egypt. It's God's covenant name. It's the name that exudes kindness and protection and provision and grace and compassion. The name Yahweh, the Lord, it's a relationship name. It's not a title. It's a name. It's a name that speaks of his bond of love with his people. We get to call God by his name. That's the significance. That's the feel of this word whenever you see it in the Bible. The Lord. Awesomeness, yes. But tenderness at the same time. And that explains for us, doesn't it, why David can speak about God in this daring way. This is why the Lord, who is so exalted, condescends to be a shepherd to men and women like us. It's because he's a God of inexhaustible grace and tenderness. So much tenderness and grace that he will devote himself to caring for the flock. So much tenderness and grace that he will never slumber or sleep. So much tenderness and grace that he will leave the glory of heaven so that he can seek after straying sheep, no matter how far they've wandered, no matter what it might cost to bring them back again. So much tenderness and grace that he will even lay down his life for the sheep. He goes to no end of trouble for the sake of the sheep, because he's the Lord. He's Yahweh. He is their covenant God. The Lord of heaven binds himself to the flock of his sheep. Not because he's the youngest in the family and he didn't have a choice and he had to look after them. No, he becomes the shepherd of his people out of sheer grace, because he chooses to stoop down and set his love upon them. Awesomeness and tenderness. And these two aspects of God's character that the name Yahweh, the Lord, speaks to us about, these two aspects of God's being and character, they come together as he shepherds his people. Both of these things tell us something about the way that he shepherds his people. Because unlike human shepherds, our shepherd is infinitely powerful and infinitely loving at the same time. Even the best shepherds can't care for their flock with perfect devotion. No human shepherd can do that. At times, human shepherds are selfish. They're indifferent to the needs of the sheep. They put themselves first before the flock. They're preoccupied with their own desires and their own concerns. They don't love the sheep as they should. And then, even the best of human shepherds doesn't always have the strength to protect their sheep from danger. They don't always have the resources that they need to give the sheep what they want. They don't always have the wisdom to know what's best for the flock. They don't always have the wisdom to recognize the symptoms of illness among the sheep. And even if they recognize the symptoms, they don't always have the ability to cure the symptoms. But these limitations don't apply to the Lord, our shepherd, do they? He loves us perfectly. He's never preoccupied. No one else could ever or will ever love us with the same love and devotion that the Lord our Shepherd loves us with. No one else could ever possibly want what's best for you or know what's best for you more than He does. And the wonderful thing is that this perfect love is joined to the Lord's perfect strength. He's not just tender, but He's awesome. He's able to carry out His desires and His purposes for us because He has infinite knowledge. He knows everything about you. He knows all your circumstances perfectly. He knows your motives. He knows your thoughts. He has infinite wisdom. He knows exactly how to deal with you as an individual to bring about what is best for you. He knows exactly where your breaking point is. He knows exactly how much you can bear, how much you can cope with. All the power that there is at His disposal so that He can help you and strengthen you with whatever it is that you need. There is no crisis that is beyond His power to sustain you. There is no lamb in the flock that is so weak or so sickly that He can't nurse it to health and strength. That's why it is so wonderful, so amazing, so comforting and encouraging that the Lord, Yahweh, is our shepherd. So it tells us something about the Lord. And then, secondly, it tells us something about us. The Lord is my shepherd. It tells us something about us. When we think of Psalm 23, the focus tends to be on the Lord as the shepherd, and that's natural and that is right. But it is worth taking just a moment or two, isn't it, to reflect on what this teaches us about ourselves. In this verse, God describes His people as sheep. We're sheep. Now, why does He call us sheep? Why choose that particular animal? And not just here in Psalm 23, but in many places in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're described as sheep. Why sheep? Well, the sheep is not chosen at random. It's chosen very, very deliberately. And it tells us at least two things about ourselves. It tells us, for one thing, that we're sinful. We're sinful. It's not a flattering thing to be compared to a sheep. Sheep are silly, helpless, stupid animals. One shepherd has written about them, saying that they are perhaps the most silly creatures on this planet. They're easily panicked and annoyed and weakened. He says, unable to defend themselves against wolves, they also need protecting from themselves. Sheep are notorious for wandering off good pastures or away from sources of water, for destroying what good grass is available, and for placing themselves in one irretrievable situation after another. Stupid. Charles Spurgeon writes, "There is no animal that has so many forms of sickness as a sheep has. It may be afflicted in any part of its body, from its feet up to its head. Sheep," he says, "have a great number of follies. If there is a hole in the hedge, they are sure to find it and press through. They are prone to wander and ready for all sorts of mischief, but they never assist the shepherd in the slightest degree." And he says, in this respect, we are all just like the silly sheep. Yet, Our good shepherd supplies all the needs, pities all the infirmities, and pardons all the wanderings of his poor, wayward flock. I wonder, do you recognize yourself in the midst of that description? The Lord is my shepherd. That says something that is truly glorious about God, but it says something that is very, very humbling about you and me. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, turned each one to his own way. We are like sheep. Human beings are stubborn and foolish and easily led creatures who hardly know what's good for us. We're prone to stray, aren't we? We know that so very well. Take your eyes off the shepherd for just a moment or two and you stray. I wonder how often you've strayed in these past few weeks from the paths of righteousness that the shepherd leads us in. How quick are you to run away from the path of obedience and to follow after the sinful promptings of your own heart and to listen to the seductive voice of the world and the devil, telling us that there are green pastures somewhere else? Don't follow the Lord. Don't trust the Lord. He doesn't know where the green pastures are. Let me show you where the green pasture is to be found. And even though painful experience has taught us time and time again that following anyone other than the Good Shepherd makes us miserable in our stupid folly, we still ignore the voice of the shepherd. And we end up trapped and lost and hurt. We don't like to think of ourselves as sheep. We like to think of ourselves as being as brave as a lion or as strong as an ox. In our pride, we don't want to think of ourselves as silly, helpless sheep. Not many people would take that as a compliment. But friends, this is what God says we are. And it's good to remember that. It's good to think about that every single day. To remind yourself, I am a sheep. I am a silly, foolish, straying, helpless sheep. I am weak and I am vulnerable. And if I don't keep close to the shepherd, then I'm doomed. It keeps us from proud thoughts of ourselves. It keeps us trusting the Lord. And the Lord, as our shepherd, is so patient, isn't he, with his foolish, sinful, weak people. He's so tender and loving and compassionate. As Spurgeon says, our good shepherd supplies all the needs, pities all the infirmities and pardons all the wanderings of his poor, wayward flock. We are sinful. And that brings us then to the other thing that this says about us. Not just that we are sinful, but that we are owned. We are owned. We're sheep. We're not wild animals. Sheep are owned and cared for and precious to someone. You had to pay a great deal of money for sheep, and the sheep became your property. And so there's encouragement in this description. We may be stubborn, we may be stupid, we may be straying, but we belong to the Lord who is our shepherd. And that's amazing enough in itself, but even more amazing when you remember the price that the Lord had to pay to make us his sheep. Acts 20 verse 28 talks about the flock of God which he obtained with his own blood. That's the price that the Lord Jesus had to pay to make you his sheep, his own blood. And so, yes, we stray, but he seeks after us and he brings us back to the fold because we're his and he will never, ever abandon us or let us go. Even though we hurt ourselves, even though we hurt others because of our stupidity, he binds up our wounds and he forgives us. Even though we stubbornly keep doing the same sins over and over again, he graciously bears with us because we are his sheep. We belong to him. He may need to discipline us with his rod and with his staff to bring us back to himself. But whatever he does it in love because we are his sheep. We belong to him. So let's recognize ourselves today as sheep, straying, stubborn, stupid creatures ready to plunge ourselves into ruin at the drop of a hat. Let's think about the ways that we've strayed. Perhaps we need to go home and confess our sins to the Lord and repent and ask for his forgiveness. But let's marvel that we can do that because the Lord is our shepherd. This infinitely great, infinitely loving Lord is the shepherd of his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Amen. Well, let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for this glorious truth that we have sung and recited so often, and yet perhaps it just doesn't astonish us the way that it should. It's lost its impact upon us. Familiarity with it has bred contempt. And we pray that by your Spirit you will impress upon each one of us in a new way this day the wonder, the power of this truth that the Lord, Yahweh, is our shepherd. We praise you, Lord God, for your awesome majesty and power, and for your tender mercy and compassion, and for how all of these things, in fact, all that you are, is united together in shepherding us, your people. Father, we confess that we are sheep, that we are sinful, straying, stubborn, stupid. And even in this past week, O God, we can see evidence. We can think now clearly of different ways that we have strayed from you. We pray for your forgiveness. We thank you that you come after us. You don't let us stray away and be lost forever. We thank you that you've brought us to yourself and that you keep us, and that no one can pluck us out of your hand. Father, we thank you that we are yours, and that nothing, no power in the universe can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.